Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up just 10 minutes from now, we will talk to Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day, Wizards and Rockets tonight over at Capital One Arena. But right now, Anthony, quick, we are going to go through a reset of our NFL tier rankings. So all the teams that made the playoffs, goodbye. We can do this quickly because we don't have to talk about you anymore. So what we need to do is reestablish the parameters here. Which teams are we giving no chance to win this weekend? Which teams do we think, I guess they're interesting, but they're probably ultimately not good enough? And then which teams do we give a puncher's chance that we're going to say not only can win one playoff game, but could win two? They could wind up in the conference championship game. And then which teams are we saying are the actual prime contenders? I say we start from the bottom and work our way up, because I only think that there's one team in the NFL playoffs that has no real chance of winning this weekend. And if somehow by hook or by crook they were to win, they have absolutely no chance of winning two playoff games. Anthony, do you care to guess who that is?
You're going to say the Houston Texans.
That is correct, Anthony. I believe that the Houston Texans are the sole playoff team in either conference that legitimately has no shot of winning a playoff game.
I agree with you, sir.
All right. Now that we got that taken care of, interesting, but not good enough. I don't know how many teams are actually going to wind up in this tier. That's kind of the thing about these playoffs, is it's a lot of good teams. I got one, though, at the very least one. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
I just think they have fallen apart to the point that I mean, especially because they got to play Baltimore. But I kind of think that they're toast.
Yeah. I mean, I will want to add a second, but I agree. The Steelers have hit a wall and fallen off a cliff.
Yeah. I agree. I think you're right. I think there's one other AFC team that belongs in here.
Yep.
And that team is the Denver Broncos.
Yes, sir.
All due respect to Denver, who is kind of punchy. And I think you could make a case for them in puncher's chance. The problem is they're the seven seed. So they're going to have to go. If they were to somehow upset the Buffalo Bills,
man,
they would then just go to Kansas City.
Which would be crazy too, though.
Yeah, division. I mean, they just played, obviously, a very different version of Kansas City. Look, this Denver team is rolling. They're punchy. I just don't know if they're playoff punchy, especially in an AFC where they have Bo Nix, all due respect, who I think had a great rookie season, has come on really strong here at the end, had a phenomenal game in Week 18 in a got-to-have-it situation. But you got Bo Nix, and they got Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. Like, Justin Herbert. And I guess that's the other team. Where do the Chargers belong?
I was also thinking they're interesting and not quite good enough. I don't trust their receiving core, Craig. I don't trust Quentin Johnston to go out there.
Fresh off 13 for 186?
Hey, look, I'm not going to lie. He had himself a game, but
of course, it's Craig, the first one he's really had.
Consistency, man. He has not been consistent all year long.
I literally just saw a screenshot in my Instagram of his 13 for 186 being a career high, and I was like, no kidding. No kidding, those are his career highs. Here's the only thing about the Chargers.
Okay.
They're facing the Texans in round one. Ah. So barring something unforeseen, considering we put the Texans in no chance, they're already into round two.
True. So I guess they have a chance, but at the same token, it's just...
You know what? I'm with you. Look, if the Broncos are there, I think the Chargers are there.
Yeah.
And that's said respectfully to the Broncos.
That's fair.
And frankly, if it wasn't Mike T, I think the Steelers, I don't know. I almost want to put the Steelers down, but I don't trust George Pickens to have fully quit, although it appears that George Pickens is fully quit.
Yeah.
All right. So, LA Chargers, you're going an interesting, but not quite good enough, even though you can't have a first round bye. As much as you can have in these playoffs. Is there any team in the NFC that we're going to put below puncher's chance? It feels insane to not.
I'll have one. The Green Bay Packers.
Are you saying the Christian Watson injury is enough to knock them down?
No, it's not just Christian Watson. It's also Jaire Alexander. I think
you're probably right.
I think those two injuries alone.
I think you're probably right. I just think that, like, Love has been a little bit off all year. They just finished with a terrible loss to the Bears, so it's not like they're coming in hot.
Yeah.
Love is banged up. Malik Willis is banged up. Like, there's a whole bunch of not good. Christian Watson's their only deep threat, so they have a million receivers, but none of them are actually that good.
And you got to be able to create separation. They struggled doing that against the Lions. You know the Eagles are going to do that. So I don't know.
I think for the Eagles, you have to be able to take the top off the defense, a la what the Commanders did.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. The Packers don't have the dudes to do it.
Nope.
And then defensively, yeah, without Jaire to do anything with AJ and just there, it's too much. I think you're right. I think the Packers, which would make sense. They are the 7th seed. And by the way, if they were to somehow pull off the miracle and beat Philly, like they ain't going to beat Detroit, I don't think, but it's division. And that's the thing, is you have three NFC North teams, which I think is messing with my head. All right, puncher's chance. I think Washington belongs here.
Yep.
I think there is a chance that Washington could wind up in the NFC Championship game because I think, honestly, it would take a Green Bay win, I think, because I feel better about the Eagles. I think if this team plays Detroit, that is going to be a long day at the office.
Man.
With what Detroit is able to do offensively. But Washington could also have a day offensively. Like, they can create plays. And they are not scared of anyone. If they got five and five is right, they got a chance. Washington Commanders, you're going in puncher's chance. I believe the Minnesota Vikings belong here as well, which isn't really fair to the Vikings to put them in the same tier as the Commanders, considering the Vikings were last seen playing for the number one seed. However, I think you see when that, like, high leverage, there's still just a little too much Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold, like, I hate that for him, but, like, he really played his worst game of the season, and maybe I'm overreacting to that, but am I?
I mean, I don't think you're off. I think he definitely did. He missed some throws he should have had, but also the Lions.
I started typing Sam Darnold instead of Minnesota Vikings.
No, the Lions put those boys in a bag, man.
I'm gonna say the Vikings are in puncher's chance.
Yeah.
Probably the heavyweight, so to speak, in puncher's chance, but I think they're in puncher's chance. Them making the Super Bowl would be a bit of a surprise to me coming out of the NFC. All right, in the AFC, are the remaining teams that we haven't talked about, are they prime contenders? Buffalo, Kansas City, and
the Ravens.
And the Ravens? Or any of those belong down here?
I think they're all prime contenders. Chiefs, back-to-back defending champs, and then you got the two MVP contenders. I think they're all prime contenders.
Okay, which means we just have one team that we kind of forgot about.
The Bucks.
The Rams. Oh. Or the Rams and the Bucks. Those are, I guess, the two teams.
And the Eagles.
We forgot about. Well, the Eagles I didn't forget about. I know where they're going to wind up. So let's just do it this way. Prime contenders, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. We agree on those.
Yes, sir.
So are we saying Bucks, Rams, puncher's chance? Could they wind up in the NFC Championship game?
I think the Bucks more so are interesting. I think the Rams could end up in the
I have a hard time putting a Bucks team below the Commanders team that they are favored over and hosting a playoff game against.
True. It hurts. It's tough.
I know they did finish with the worst record, though.
I just know the Bucks are 12 wins. Banged up, though, Craig. Like,
I don't know how banged up they are, though, outside of Godwin. I kind of think they're starting to get. I'm scared that they're going to get healthy and that Winfield comes back and that Dean comes back and it's a very different looking Bucks defense. I think they have a puncher's chance. Okay. And I think the Rams, I think, belong in interesting, but not good enough.
Okay.
I don't think the Rams are.
Despite their offense.
Despite their offense. Their offense also hasn't been nearly as good in like a month.
It has not.
So I think that's probably relevant. Their defense is really young, is what it is. All right, so prime contenders, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Puncher's Chance, Commanders, Vikings, Bucks. That feels very homerish, but I don't care. Steelers, Broncos, Chargers, Packers, Rams, interesting but not good enough. No chance, Houston Texans. That's the playoff edition of the NFL tier rankings. Up next, Dave Johnson, live from the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa Chicken. How you wanna at Wawa with crispy and roasted chicken sandwiches.
Right corner, Kispert open for three. It's there.
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now the right block of Alsar. Slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Blocked by Colabali. Left wing George. 3 on the clock for three. It's there. Feel like busting loose. Busting loose. Crossover step back.
It is the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and joining us live from the booth at Capital One Arena, it's Dave Johnson. Dave, how we doing?
We're ready to rock, and we're feeling Commander's fever as well. And by the way, somebody asked me about that today on social media, where all questions are asked. You know,
of course.
Can the Commanders make the Super Bowl? And if that's the thing about the NFL playoffs, you just get in the way it is now. And there's every possibility. That's why the NFL, you know, keeps drawing 1 billion viewers every week or whatever their numbers come out to be. So on any given Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and all the days they play, once upon a time, it's on any given Sunday. But I think they have as good a chance as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you got Jaden, you got a shot. Right. Do we have Dave?
How's that for playing to the home audience?
What else are we here for?
That's right.
Are we aware of the record for the Wizards when Jaden is in the building this year?
You know, I
because he's
don't
come to
know.
At least two.
Yes, and that's a good point. And his mother told him to not be on the telephone or cell phone, looking at a cell phone. I don't know. Do you know?
I don't.
I
know.
Check that.
Yeah, it was one of the games that
I
was
at. He was at a win recently. So, and that would be significant, obviously. So I will look into that. I will have our research analysts do that.
Okay. Well, these are the important questions that we're trying to solve here on the Hoffman Show. Question that that Brian Keefe and his staff are trying to solve is, why do all these great players keep putting up just performances of the year against the Wizards? Going back to two games ago against the Pelicans, where C.J. McCollum drops 50 on them. And this has unfortunately been a pattern in the last couple of years where, yes, Giannis and Anthony Davis and C.J. McCollum and the list goes on are tremendous basketball players who occasionally drop 50 points in NBA games. But there has been, I would imagine if you're in Brian Keefe's chair, a little bit too much consistency of that happening to the Wizards. What has he said about some of the individual brilliance that opponents have been able to pull off against this Washington squad at this point in the season?
You know, we really have not asked him about, you know, individuals. I mean, look, C.J. McCollum had 50 on Friday, and I off the hand, I don't know what he had on Sunday, but he didn't have another 50-point game. So it's going to happen. On the flip side, when the Wizards had those kind of scores, and certainly a Jordan Poole can go off for, you know, 30 or 40 or whatever. So what you have to look at, and this is where the season is going beyond numbers like that. They lost on Sunday. Yes, the Pelicans hit a bunch of threes, but they held the Pelicans to 41% shooting. 41% from the field. I understand about the threes, and the threes count. But what Brian Keefe talked about in the post game, and if you look at the numbers, and Brian Alvin did a great job on our pregame show on Wizards Radio 24/7, just breaking out, the Wizards are among the top-ranked, when I say top-ranked, in the top 10 in several defensive categories over the past 5 or 10 games. So while there's situations like you just mentioned, C.J. McCollum goes off for 50, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, we feel like, wow, everybody has their career high against the Wizards, but there's also, you know, sometimes it's funny how it's like with your relatives, you know them the best, and you're also the hardest on them the best. So, you know, as much as we say it about our team, another team will say, oh, you know, so-and-so always goes off on us or whatever. So the bigger picture is that, yeah, C.J. McCollum is going to get his 50, but are the Wizards better defensively in the month of December to January? And the answer to that is not just my word for it. You can statistically look at it when you take a smaller sample size, not the entire season, but if you take the last 10 games, you'll find the Wizards are making big strides that you can point to on defense.
Dave Johnson with us from the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena. And they played better defensively against the Pelicans the second time around than they did this past weekend the first time around. McCollum 25 in the second game. The problem was offensively, the Wizards also did not have the output.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
and not to interrupt you, but think about that. Think, in the NBA today, you hold a team to 110 points. That's a win, typically. The Wizards... And not make an excuse, but and it was great to have Kyle Kuzma back with 28, and the Wizards will never go there. But, you know, would that story have been different if you had played that kind of defense and had Jordan Poole in his 25 points or whatever? So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's still a loss. It's still too many three-pointers allowed. But it was not on a night when you allowed the Pelicans to shoot 48% from the field. There was some good within that. Within that game on Sunday, Sunday, whenever.
Whenever that game was, the game that happened the other day.
Right.
That's not
right.
Today. Today's
right.
Game is against the Rockets, and we are awaiting word, although, Dave, you probably have an update at this point. Jordan Poole listed as a game-time decision. We also know that Malcolm Brogdon is out for this one. Do we know when Brogdon will be back, and will we see Jordan Poole tonight?
We will not see Jordan Poole tonight, and, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, that's a situation where, you know, he went off with a foot sprain the other night, and I don't know how long he's going to be out. We do get Bilal Coulibaly back tonight. I just got word that Alperen Şengün, the very talented Rocket center,
yes,
he might be a late scratch with a hip injury. So, but yeah, you would. The good thing is Jordan Poole. I don't think it's going to be much longer for Jordan Poole. He is someone, and we focused on this in the last pregame. He talked about it, why he plays through pain, why, he's been through Final Fours and playoff basketball, and that's just part of it. So if Jordan Poole cannot go, he really cannot go. And in other words, he's being having a seatbelt put on him. Because he will play through anything, as evidence of the game that went to overtime, where he initially hurt the hip against the New York Knicks, and he came back when we thought he wouldn't, and he still played through. So, you know, he's as tough as it comes, and you hope it always sooner than later, but I never have a timetable for anybody.
All right, well, Dave, we'll let you go chase down the Alperen Şengün news and otherwise get ready as Dave and company are on the air in less than 20 minutes. 6:45 is pregame tonight here on the Team 980. Tip follows at 7. Dave, appreciate your time as always, my friend.
Always, always. Look forward to the next get-together.
Which should be tomorrow, right? We got a back-to-back situation?
Back-to-back, yes. So I'll try to be better tomorrow.
I think you did just fine. If you could just repeat this performance tomorrow, we'll be great.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you then. That's Dave Johnson with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we have not had a Real Things Real People Said in real microphones, I feel like, in forever, because we've had all kinds of crazy stuff happening. And there's some very, very good ones today, including a John Riggins story from Howie Long. If I can't get you to come back after the commercial break for a John Riggins story from Howie Long, then I got nothing for you. Real Things is next. It's the Hoffman Show on Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Super producer Anthony Haney over there. Craig Hoffman here. That's me, the Hoffman Show. I think people get it at this point, Anthony.
What'd you say?
I said I think people get it at this point.
Oh, yes.
I don't know, every once in a while you'd be surprised, Anthony, how often people are like, wait, you have a show? I loved you back on The Fan in like 2018. Like, thanks for keeping up.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, hey, better late than never. So I just always assume that there's new people listening.
Was this early 2018 or like?
I made it. That was a hypothetical.
Oh, because I was about to say, I was still in college, man. I wasn't going to talk about how old you are, but
when did you graduate?
You said, when did I graduate?
Yeah.
2018.
Oh, in 2018. No, I mean, I started on the Commanders beat for the Fan in 2016.
Ah, okay.
I think. Was it 2017? No, 17, 18, and 19. I did pregame in 16.
Okay.
So 17, 18, and 19 seasons were my 106.7 The Fan beat seasons.
I love that for you, man.
Yeah. You were covering Syracuse football. Basketball.
Yeah.
And lacrosse, because that's what happens up there. Did you do any lacrosse?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
Like, cover it. Did you ever go to a lacrosse game?
I went to one.
I remember.
We're a lacrosse school, though. I should have gone to more.
Yeah, I covered more women's lacrosse than I did men's lacrosse because of the radio stations that, like, the positions I had in the radio station I worked for and the timing of it because I was a transfer and all the different stuff that, if people are interested, they can do a Q&A with me at another time. Doesn't really matter. But I remember distinctly going to, like, a UVA Syracuse 1-2 men's lacrosse game and almost falling asleep. Because I was really tired, and it just didn't do it for me. Now that lacrosse, it can't be really exciting. It's just, I feel like lacrosse is actually a sport, even more so than like football or soccer, even though they're played on literally the exact same field. Lacrosse is better on television.
Yeah, I like watching it on television, unless I personally know the people that are playing.
Then that's different.
Yeah.
When you can yell out to someone, and you're like, if they hear my voice, that might mean something to them, versus watching on TV, that's a different bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely different. But for the, for sports on TV goes, lacrosse, much, much better, than watching what is a very condensed area of action on a very small part of the field. And then everyone runs to the other side and then it's condensed action on another part of the field. It's just not as good in person. That's my humble opinion from a person who's been to one lacrosse game. It's like the whole lacrosse. Bickle and the lacrosse brigade are going to come after me.
Hold on, you've only been to one lacrosse game?
Well, one men's lacrosse
game. Okay.
I probably went to a couple. I had to go to more than one, but okay. I distinctly remember that one and remember like almost falling asleep and being like, man, this is bad. I'm like ashamed of myself. I think I was also tired. I was in college. Who knows?
We didn't sleep a lot.
Didn't sleep as much as I should have. But that's part of being in college sometimes. Now I'm an adult and I wish I could sleep more. But I'm old, and so my body wakes me up early. It'd be the life, kids. It'd be the life. All right, we got a couple things in the Real Things folder?
Yes, sir.
Let's hit it. It's time for Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones. All right, I don't want to push this any further. I don't want to accidentally run out of time at the end. I haven't even honestly listened to the whole clip. I just know that Howie Long was on Julian Edelman's podcast, and he told a John Riggins story. And I got like 5 seconds in, I sent it to Anthony and was like, I want to hear this live on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, a John Riggins story from Howie Long.
Riggins was a hammer. When I say hammer, I mean, you hit John, it was like the cartoon thing. I hit Riggins one time on a slant. Golly, the sky just went whoosh. He was just such
a big load.
He was Derrick Henry for that time. But he broke that big run versus Miami. I think it was in the Super Bowl, a 40-plus yard. I think it was a fourth down run. So for a guy that big to be able to turn the Jets on going down the field, he was a load.
I just love the beginning. I hit him. It was like a cartoon. It was like the sky went whoosh.
Yeah.
And Howie Long's a big mamma jamma. And he hit people hard. And he's like, tackling Riggins sucked.
Do you think the shoulder pads back then helped a lot of the players? Because they really wore some big shoulder pads.
Define help.
Well, I don't know. I guess you were able
to. I think if you're Riggins, it helped because it gave you more to plow people over with.
Yeah.
If you're a defensive player, it restricted your movement, made you really bulky, and probably made you a bigger target to get run over.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that helped you actually deliver a blow.
Yeah.
In the way that defensive players do.
Yeah, because even looking at Riggins, you look at B. Mitch's shoulder pads, like, why are your shoulder pads so big? But, I mean, I guess it does make sense then.
I mean, those dudes had shoulder pads, neck rolls, thigh pads. Now dudes are trying to play in as little padding as possible.
Yeah,
but they made it a lot safer where they don't need as much volume of pad to get the same protection.
Yeah.
And there's a little more freedom of movement. You ever tried throwing with shoulder pads on?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah, what these quarterbacks do is insane. Well, first of all, we take advantage that like dudes can just fling it 60 yards, or if you're Joe Milton, 80.
Yeah.
Second, like the shoulder pad is very much in the way of a traditional football throwing motion, the way that we would go play catch in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
So just remember, NFL players, they're not like us. What else we got in the folder of Magic Sound, Anthony?
So I'm not sure if you've heard, though, Craig. The Ball Brothers put out a song.
I've heard about it.
It's LiAngelo's song. Mm-hmm. Lonzo is one of the writers.
Okay.
So he helped with the song. But there was a reporter yesterday that got whiff of the song, I'm guessing, over the weekend, because it dropped Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter got a hold of it, and since everybody on the East Coast is dealing with snow, he thought to use it on live TV, and this is how it sounded.
So when you're really trying to drive through here on these main roadways and turn into these secondary roadways, you might swerve in the corner. Whoa, I might tell you, next thing you know, you find yourself.
Swerve, bend the corner, whoa.
Yeah.
He did a nice job. I mean, obviously that is played up with the music overlaid on it. But he kind of did a nice job of doing it where if you know, you know, and if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And to me, as someone who occasionally sneaks stuff in to the show, as he talks for many hours every week into these here microphones, I appreciate the subtlety. Not as subtle when it's overlaid with the actual track, but
the thing is, I think a lot of newscasters, sportscasters, they do like Gus Johnson. Do you know Boss Man D-Lo? He loves Boss Man D-Lo. He loves trying to.
But you have to be able to do it naturally. This is always. I'm gonna. I'm gonna be nice to the person. There's an ESPN broadcaster whose name I will tell you in less than a minute, because we're now, I guess now exactly one minute and 1 second from now when the show is over, who does it, and in his own way it kind of works and is natural, but also like he's just kind of like, it's kind of clunky and feels forced, and I'm just like,
it's cringeworthy.
Just call the game, man.
Yeah.
It'll be better if you just call the game and speak the language. You have to be able to be slick with it. Like, and it has to sound natural. Like, that's what made Stu Scott great. Is like, Stu Scott could do it and slip it in, and everyone's like, that doesn't sound like everyone else, but like, he's clearly on top of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this person pulls it off.
Ah.
Quite the same way.
The effort is there. The execution, needs a little tweak.
Yeah, it's just a little stilted for my taste. A little forced. And it's like, just nobody. You're not doing highlights on SportsCenter. You're calling the game.
Yeah.
Different bit. Anyway. That's our show. Dave Johnson's calling the game next. Wizards, Rockets, now on the Team 980.